If you guys have your Bibles, want to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to be speaking from there. Before I read the scripture, I wanted to set kind of, the foundation for what I feel like God wants to say today, what he's given me to say. So Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, and I'll probably go through verse 10 as where we'll be. So you can just turn there and leave it there. You know, I read a story last night about this couple that they couldn't read or write, husband and wife. I don't know if they were from another country or whatever, but they were here in America. I don't know if they were just unable to read. They never learned to read and write, but they were illiterate and couldn't read or write. And they had come to a church through an outreach, and they'd come to a church service, and they both gave their hearts to Jesus and got saved. And they had come into this church, and during a service, they got plugged in, and the husband got really super excited and was going. They both began to go to Sunday school meetings and stuff. And so the husband, they had a men's group, and he got involved in this men's group, and he began to go. And when they had these men's meetings, or it was like Bible studies together and stuff that they did. So when they did this, most of the men, if not all, about all of them, a big group of them at least, all wore the same T-shirts to when they come together every week. And so he's in, and he can't read what's on the shirts or anything. He just knows they all have the same shirts. So his wife is like an incredible sewer. She can sew things and do create clothing and stuff like that. It's one of her, what she does for a living, I guess. So he goes back to her and he tells her what color the shirt is and that he wants one in the next meeting, because he just wants to be a part of the group. He wants to be involved. He wants to be a part. So he tells his wife that, and she gets excited, and so she figures it out. She makes a shirt that color looks like it. He describes it to her, and she makes it. So the next meeting, he wears it to the meeting. Well, he gets there, and he's going through, and he notices while he's sitting there, he comes in excited, and then he notices that on all of their shirts, there's some kind of an inscription on them, something written, and he can't read, so he didn't know what it says. He just knows that his shirt isn't complete, so he's not feeling like he's a part because his shirt's not complete. So he sees that insignia and that thing written on their shirts, and so he goes back to his wife after the meeting, kind of down and sad, and she's like, "What's wrong?" And he's like, "Well, they have something on their shirts," and he tries to describe to her what is written on their shirts, but he can't read, so he doesn't know letters. She doesn't either. So he's just describing the best he can, and she's like, "Okay, I'll figure it out." So she's sitting in the window as he's describing, and she looks across the street, and she sees a sign up in a business across the street from their apartment, and she looks at that as he's describing, and she's thinking, "Well, it looks like that." So she copies the sign in the window across the street onto his shirt. She sews it. She's like amazingly gifted. And she sews this insignia, these three words. That's all it was, three words on the sign. And she sews it like the sign. And so it says something, three words. So he goes to the next meeting with that on there. And he comes home on cloud nine. He's bubbling. He's dancing around. He's singing. He's like, "They loved it. Everybody was encouraging me and telling me how much they loved my shirt that you made. And some of them want one." And he's like, "And I'm a part of the group now. And I just feel so good. And they just love my shirt. They like it better even than theirs." And so turns out his shirt said, "Under new management." Under new management. You know, when we come to Jesus, that's exactly what happens. We're under new management. And like any kind of employee, we can choose to be rebellious to our master, or we can choose to obey our master. We can put our whole heart into it. We can put half our heart into it. We have a choice. We have decisions that we make. And when we come to Jesus, we're under new management. We're all born under management. Like it or not, we're born into this world, and we're born. There's only two managers. There's only two that could be masters of our lives, and that's either Satan or Jesus. There is no in between. We are not the masters of our own lives, contrary to some popular belief. We're all born under management. And so when we receive Jesus into our hearts and we make a commitment to him, we are under new management. Ephesians chapter 2 says this, And you were made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. And that's talking about Satan. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come we might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, Jesus repeatedly said, in multiple places, more than one in the New Testament, he said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. If we're under his management, and we respect his management, and we've made him a part of our lives, we've invited him in, and the Holy Spirit's taken up residence in us, Jesus has taken up residence in us, then we're under new management. The old things are passed away. Those dead works, that wrath, being sons of disobedience, sons of wrath, and all that stuff it talks about in the beginning of the chapter, being dead in our sins, all of that goes away because a new manager moves in, Jesus. And then we become, because he created us for good works in Christ Jesus, we become that. We don't do good works to earn salvation. We do good works because we want to do good works. When we have new management, things change. You know, I was thinking about this, and when I was thinking about this after I read that story, I was thinking about this. There's an apartment complex here in town, and that a couple of our members moved into, maybe 6 months ago, I'm guessing. And when they were asking around here at the church, and we were here, and different people in the community, they were asking about this apartment complex, saying, how is it? Is it good? They were going to move into it. And is it a good place to be? And many people were saying, no, that's not a good place. That's a bad complex. It's a lot goes on there that's not good. And they were saying things like that. And so that was the tone, and that was the reputation in the city of this particular apartment complex. But what they didn't know, and what the people they were asking didn't know, and what we didn't know, is that that apartment complex was under new management. It had just been under new management for just a little while. And the new management had come in with a different heart and a different attitude, and they wanted to clean things up, and they wanted to change the reputation of the apartment complex, and they wanted to get good people in there, and they wanted to fix it up. And so this was going on while they were considering moving in, but everybody was saying it's a bad place, there's bad things that go on there, it's not good, because of the former management wasn't good. The former management of the place didn't just let things go, let whoever move in, didn't fix anything up, didn't clean anything up, didn't put good people in there. So when you have good management, things change. When you have bad management, it is evident. Reputation is built over a series of incidents, time, day by day. That apartment complex didn't develop that reputation overnight. It took years, probably. And the same way with changing its reputation. We saw that with them because the reputation had not caught up to what was actually happening. So they just took a step of faith and they moved into this place, and it has been wonderful for them. They love it. And there's people at night that go out and take turns, and they watch over people's vehicles in the neighborhood, and they run off any kind of riffraff. They clean the apartments up. They regularly get it sprayed. They're fixing things up continuously. Got a regular handyman there, and he's fixing everything up, and they're on the ball about things. The lady is very firm who manages it, but she's very nice. So as long as you don't do the wrong thing, then you got a friend. But if you do the wrong thing, you're out. And that's the way it should be. You know, it's just like us as believers. We come in as Christians, and Jesus becomes the manager, and he's firm, and he's loving, and he's good. And he goes in and he starts immediately when we receive him and receive salvation, ask him into our heart. There's a big chunk of stuff that immediately just gets chunked out. Just like that apartment complex. I'm sure dumpsters were pulled up and things were cleaned up immediately when new management comes in. It's like, okay, let's get the big bulk of this cleaned up. But then there's some things that slowly clean up and slowly happen. There's things that you can't see in a place like that. There's drug dealing going on back in the corner. There's this, that, and the other going on in this place. And you don't see everything right away. There's other things that pop up along the way. And as they pop up and they're revealed, then you deal with them. It's the same way in our walk with God. We've got immediately a bulk of things that get cleaned up, but then as Christians, as we walk our Christian life, we walk through it, and there's little things that pop up here and there. There's things that were hidden that weren't seen in the first dumpster load of trash that needed to go out or that needs to be fixed. And so we have a choice as we walk as believers with Jesus and we walk with Him, that we don't ever want to go back to being sons of disobedience. We don't ever want to go back to rebelling against His management. And so we have a choice. Either we comply and we get in line, and because we do it because we love Him. We do the good works because we want to. If we ever find ourselves in a place where we're doing good works because we feel like we have to, we're off track as much as if we were in disobedience. The good works are because we want to. We love people because we love people. We do good things. We feed. We reach out to those in need. We try to be nice, and we make sure that we keep our attitudes in check, and we love people because we want to. Because Jesus is in us, and we're respecting His management. We're submitting to His leadership. And yes, as believers, we have a choice. We can do good for 5 years and then suddenly one day say, you know what, I'm not going to listen to that anymore. I just want to be bitter. I just want to be angry because this person hurt me and I'm going to be mad. We can do that. But it is rebellion against our new management. It is disobedience. And it will cause those things to creep back in. Not because of the management, but because of our rebellion to it. And unlike an apartment complex where the manager has the choice and the right to kick people out when they disobey. I mean, that's what an apartment manager is going to do. That's what she does. If somebody is doing drugs in the apartment complex, it was just 2 or 3 weeks ago. Somebody had come in and got caught doing that during the day. They were out the next day. Well, that's good because she's taking her job seriously and she's keeping the riffraff away and keeping the place cleaned up. But as believers, things just don't get immediately kicked out. We're always going to be His child. We're always going to be loved by Him. He's in there. He's with us. But if we rebel against His management and we choose not to do the right thing, then we open ourselves up to all the things to come back that we got delivered from in the first place. We open our individual self up for things to come back and things to begin to rule our lives that are not supposed to rule our lives. And it's not, you know, I hear this saying, constantly, we've all heard it through time, especially. You hear people say, the devil made me do it. He don't make you do anything. He doesn't make us do anything. He can't make us do anything. That is an excuse and a cop-out. That's what that is. We have a choice. Not only when we're lost to choose Jesus, but when we choose Jesus and He comes into our heart, as believers, we have to choose daily to respect and submit to His management. If we don't keep His commandments, that's why He said that. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. This is He who loves me. It's He who keeps my commandments and does what I say. It's our respect for His management. It's our respect to follow what He said and keep His commands, to love one another, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourself, to tell the truth, to be honest, to stay away from lying, stealing, deceit, drugs, all those things that drag us down. You know, when we're in the world and we don't know Jesus, sin is like, the best way I can explain it is to give you an analogy. Here's a story. I was just thinking about this. When we don't know Jesus, sin rules us. It is our manager. It is in control of our lives. We do, at times, just, we're driven by it. It's not as much a choice because our nature is we're being ruled and managed by it. But when we come to Jesus, we're set free from that management. New management moves in, and then we have a choice. We have power to say no, power to say yes. We can resist all that. But when we're in the world and we don't know Jesus, just like it says here, sons of wrath, sons of disobedience in the very first part of the chapter, it's like this. Sin is like this. An Eskimo had a wolf problem. And this wolf would come at night and kill whatever he had and take off with his fish or do bad things, tear stuff up in around his house and stuff. So this Eskimo got this bright idea and took a knife, sharpened it extremely sharp, went out and killed some kind of an animal and put blood on the tip of the knife, on the blade, and froze it. Stuck it in a frozen water and froze it. Pulled it out and had a layer of ice over the blood. So then he did that again and again and again. He spent a whole day putting a layer of blood and then a layer of ice, layer of blood, layer of ice. So he layered this knife up until it was like a popsicle. And he had this knife. So at night he went out, he stuck it blade down in the ground in the area where the wolf kept coming and doing what he did and scaring his family and him and tearing things up and killing whatever animals he had and, you know, doing what wolves do. So he stuck this knife blade down in the snow, sticking up. And of course, wolves have a super sense of smell. So the wolf smells that knife out and comes over and he starts licking it like a popsicle. Well, after a while, he's faster and faster and more aggressive. And he's licking layer after layer after layer of it down because he's attracted to the blood on the blade. And he's layer after layer after layer until finally the wolf doesn't even realize it. He's licking all the way down till he gets to the blade, and then it just tears his tongue up. He doesn't even feel the blade going through his tongue because he's so aggressive by now toward the blood that he's just taken by it, and it's destroying his tongue. The Eskimo wakes up the next morning and finds the wolf dead. He laid a trap for him. You know that's what the devil does? He lays a trap for us. Sin nature, our sin nature, when we don't know Jesus, is laid like a trap. And even when we do know Jesus, it's laid out there like a trap. It is not the devil coming making us do something. We use the excuse all the time. Well, I can't help it. I'm given to it. I keep falling. You know, it is a choice. But like that knife sickle that the Eskimo made and stuck out there like a trap, that's what the devil does to us. Whatever our weakness is, whatever it is that causes us to fall, he lays it out there like a trap. So we come under new management and we have a choice to resist that. But we have to respect our management. We have to respect our new management. We have to listen to Jesus, obey his commandments, do what he says, do what is right. If we choose to be rebellious and say no at some point along the way, and some of us, we've done that. We've come along the way, and we've come to one thing that Jesus is dealing with, and he wants to evict this thing from our lives completely, and we dig our heels in there and say, nope, I want control over this one. I want control over this area. And when we do that, we're like the wolf licking the popsicle. Layer after layer. Because what does the Bible say? The wages of sin is death. The wages. It's not instant. You know, if we immediately received the paycheck of sin, it would not be as attractive. The first lick of the popsicle, if it had slid his tongue open, that wolf would have ran off hollering into the woods. He would not have found him there the next morning. No way. But because it's slow, it's incremental, it's the frog in the frying pan thing that we've all heard. Slowly it's turned up. We've got to keep it out of our lives. When we come across it, we've got to choose to respect our new management, Jesus, and evict everything when he puts his finger on it. To say no to the things that pull us down, drag us down. To say no to some of the things that we watch. No to some of the things that we're attracted to that are like that knife buried handle down in the snow. We all have things like that, every one of us. The difference between being under new management and it showing on the outside, like that apartment complex, it's showing. People are happy there. People like it there. The neighbors have all changed. The place is being cleaned up. The pool is clean and working for probably the first time in who knows how long. You know, things are done. And it is a good atmosphere. If Jesus is management in our lives and we respect his leadership and we do what he says, it will show on the outside. You shall know them by their fruits. Fruits, love, joy, peace, happiness, like Jamie was talking about this morning. And it's funny, she said business. That was prophetic. She didn't know, Paula didn't even know what I was going to preach this morning. But under new management, that's what businesses do, right? Have you ever seen those businesses that will put up a sign? I know in my hometown back in North Carolina, there was a particular business that I remember would do this often. It was always the same person that owned it and ran it and was in control of it, but they had such a horrible way of leading and managing the place. It would always get a bad reputation in town, and then people would just stop going there, and they would just have a trickle of people. I mean, it would get down to where it just struggled and struggled. So this person learned that if they put a sign up that says, under new management, people would flood back in, and then it would take a little time, but eventually it would trail back off. So over a period of a decade or more, they would just, every now and then, once or twice every couple of years, put up a sign that said new management. Business would come back up, slowly trickle back off. Come back up, slowly trickle back off. I don't want to be the kind of believer that just puts a sign up. We have all seen that. If you've been in the church for any length of time, even a short while, you're going to come across that. People that just put a sign up. It's just, I go to church, so I'm a Christian. Well, no, that doesn't mean anything. Going to church doesn't mean you're a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a Cadillac. We've heard that before. It's true. It's about the fruit. It's about whether or not we respect the management and we're producing the fruit. And the stuff on the outside is obvious. It will show. It will show with unbelievers, believers. Doesn't matter. People across the board see good fruit. They see, you can obviously see when you drive by an apartment complex that has changed in management or a business that has changed in management, it will change from the inside out. And it will be evident. Just like that business, people, it didn't take people long to know that they just put a fresh face out in the front, put a manager tag on them, and it was fake. That business back home, everybody figured that out over time. Now, it took a little while because people wanted to go there. They liked the food. It was a chain restaurant that is well known. And it would just do good for a while. People wanted to go eat there. They wanted to be a part of that. People want to be a part of the church. But if we're just putting up signs under new management and we're not genuinely walking it out in love, and genuinely respecting our master and the new management, if individually, we all have an individual responsibility to do this. We are a walking billboard for Jesus. We come to church, we say we're a Christian, we are a walking advertisement of God, good or bad. And we will be held accountable for that. We'll be held accountable for how we live, what we do, the decisions we make. And number one bottom line, at the end of the day, we will be judged on whether or not we respected his management. He manages our lives through relationship, through prayer, through reading his word, through getting to know what's right and wrong, what he's already laid out in this book and told us to do very clearly, to love, to do good things, to have joy, to have peace. You know, if we're a believer that is respecting his management and we're walking in that and we're really saved and we're not just putting up a sign that says under new management, but we're actually, when we put the sign up, we actually are under new management, then the fruit in our lives changes to line up with that. And we come under that management, then the things change. We begin to exude joy. We begin to release peace. There's an atmosphere change around us. And we've seen it in recent weeks with just a few people. When somebody comes to Jesus and it's genuine and it's real, there is a management change, and you can see it happen from the inside out. You can equally clearly see when somebody says they're a believer and they're not. It is evident. If you spend time, all of us have that. It's not a gift. It's not a gift. Discernment is a gift. You can understand that. I'm not talking about discernment. It is not a gift to know when somebody is genuine in what they say or they're not. We all can perceive that. God made us in His image, and we can see clearly. We can see through fake stuff. Sometimes do we get confused if we're under confusion and a cloud of confusion and the enemy's running rampant in our apartment complex? Yeah. But even in that atmosphere, we know what's right and what's wrong. We have a conscience. No matter how far down the road of sin we are down, no matter how far down that road we get, no matter how cluttered it gets, we all have a conscience inside of us, and we all know right and wrong. We all know when we're doing right and when we're doing wrong. We all know. Nobody has to tell me when I'm off track. Nobody has to tell me when I'm rebelling against God. Nobody has to tell me when I'm backsliding. I know. You know. We all know. So my question today is your sign up and does it mean something? Are you really legitimately under new management? Or is it just a sign in the window? Because, you know, if the sign is legitimate, then things are changing on the inside. They're changing continually. They've been working on that place probably, I don't know how long, at least a year that we know of, maybe more. And it's going to continue to be worked on. It's going to continue to be worked out on that apartment complex. Why? Because it's not an overnight thing. It's not once and done. And when we come under new management, that's just the entryway. There's so much more to God. There's so much more to heaven. There's so much more to salvation than just eternal life. That's just the beginning. There's a whole kingdom. There's a whole calling. There's preparation for you and I to become sons of God, become sons and daughters of the King, and to become who He's created us to be. Not only do we come under new management in our own individual lives, but then we gain responsibility to be management in the world around us. He told us, and He didn't change it. Take dominion. That's what He told us to do. He told us to go and preach the gospel, to spread the good news, to heal the sick and raise the dead. He told us to pray for people. He told us to go out here and change the society around us. We have a responsibility now as believers to our community, to the world around us. We take that responsibility. When we come under new management, we take responsibility ourselves for what God has called us to be a manager over. He's going to make all of us a manager over something. The world around us, it starts right there. It starts with those who are immediately around us. It starts first and foremost with our own lives. We get our own lives in order. We evict the stuff that's not good, the things that drag us down, the things that are like that knife buried in the snow in our lives. We get rid of that stuff. We don't make excuses for it and say, well, I can't help it. The devil made me do it. We pull the stinking knife out of the ground through the power of Jesus Christ under the new management. We get rid of that thing so that we're not tempted by it anymore. We stay wide away from the things that are weaknesses to us. That is a choice. If I slip and fall every time I turn the TV on and I'm alone and start flipping channels, guess what? That TV needs to go out in the backyard if it's that strong, because it's like that knife covered in ice and blood. That's what it's like. So we leave it off. I had a roommate when I was in Bible college, and he's like, a TV, I can't have that TV in my bedroom. I struggle with it. So it's going out in the backyard. He said, out in the backyard. Now, we think that's crazy. It's not. What did Jesus say? He said, if our eye causes us to sin, pluck it out. If our hand causes us to sin, cut it off. Is that not what He said? Is that? I think that's a little more extreme than putting a TV in the backyard. You know what I'm saying? Either we take Him seriously or we don't. Either we live it or we don't. We live in a society, in an age, in a time when everybody wants to put up a sign under new management. Simple, easy, throw a sign up, go on about the way we were. And that is not the gospel. That is not the message that Jesus preached. That is not the message that the disciples preached. That is not what He died and shed His blood on the cross for. He died and shed His blood on the cross for us to legitimately be under new management. For Him to come in and be the master of our lives. Now, either we're genuine, real believers or we're not. And every one of us has a responsibility before God for our own individual lives. And we will give an account individually for our own individual life. What we do with it and what we don't do with it. Whether we follow through or we don't. Whether we respect His management or we mock it and rebel against it. We will be held accountable for that. I don't want sin to be like that knife in the snow and to be found dead one day because the wages of sin is death. Death simply means separation from something. Separation, that's what the word means. I don't want to be separated from Him. We're all born under management, separated from Him. And we all will be given the choice and have been given the choice. And many of us have chose the new management. But we have to daily, continually respect, honor, and appreciate His management. Honor His word, obey His commandments, live in such a way that the sign means something. I love the story of that shirt, under new management. It makes me want a t-shirt that says that. Seriously, think about it. But it's so much more. If the shirt doesn't, if there's not something under the shirt that's real, then it's just a shirt. If there's not a new manager behind the business, then it's just a sign and it's a facade and a lie. Like that business back home that continually did that. Eventually that business went out of business. It was done. But the same thing, the wages of sin is death for us. If we don't evict the old management, take on the new management of Jesus Christ, make Him a part of our life, honor His word, do what's right, make a genuine change in our lives, and continue to make that genuine change, one day we'll be out of business. One day the wages of sin, the paycheck will come in the mail and we will have to pay. And it does not come immediately. That's why it's so enticing. So, what I'm saying is this. As believers, is the sign in the window, does it mean something? Is it real? Are we living a life that we're continually improving, changing things and going towards God and evicting things that are not right and not good? And if we're not, if we don't know Jesus, on the flip side of that, if we don't know Jesus, have you ever come under His management? Have you ever genuinely said, Jesus, I want You to be the manager, the master, as the Bible says, the master of my heart and life? If you guys would stand up this morning, I want to pray. If you're here today and Jesus, you've never made Him, like really made Him the master of your life. Some of us go through life and you know we've been in churches multiple times along the way and we make commitments like that. We just throw a sign up in the window, we just throw a hand up and we don't really mean it from our hearts and that we want Him to be the new management of our life. So we just in a service or in a church along the way we've received Jesus and we've just wanted it to be like that. Just throw the sign up, make me good, make me a part, and then go on about being the way we were. And that's not the gospel. The gospel is that we repent, which means we turn away from our old nature and our old ways. We receive the new management. The old management is fired and evicted. It's gone. It has no more right, no more power to us. No more power over our lives. We're not driven by it. It can't make us do anything anymore. We're not like the ravenous wolf going in our old nature. Like it says here in Ephesians 2, it's not our old nature. Sons of wrath and perdition and being lost in those things are done away with. We're made a new creation when we come to Jesus. But with that comes the responsibility that when we come to Jesus is, are we walking it out? Are we, when bitterness comes out and envy and strife and all those negative things, when they're like apartment complex, when they stick their head out the door and we see them, are we evicting them? Or have we just sat back and said, you know what, I'm not going to respect the new management and get rid of that. I'm just going to live with it. We have that choice. We're managers of our own heart and our own life when we give it to Jesus. And we, when he says, get rid of these things, don't live like this, obey my commandments, love one another, don't walk in bitterness, don't gossip, don't do these things, he meant it. He was serious. And so this morning, as we, I want to pray, just bow your heads if you would, and just you and Jesus, talk to him and say, look, Jesus, if I've just put a sign up, if that's my heart attitude is just to put a sign up and look a certain way, then Jesus, ask you right now to make that clear to me. And I right now in Jesus' name, I give you my heart. I give it to you genuinely and for real, God. I give you, Jesus, my heart, and I ask you to be the manager of my life. In Jesus' name, change my heart. I don't want to be just a sign. I don't want to be just a facade. I want it to be real. And if that's you this morning, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. And if you're a believer, maybe you've been a believer in Jesus and you've been going to church for 20 years, 15 years, 5 years, whatever. But somewhere along the way, the devil came along and he stuck a knife butt down in the snow somewhere and made a knife sickle for you. And maybe that thing popped up and you knew you needed to go kick it out of your yard. But somewhere along the way, maybe you've compromised. Maybe you've not decided to get rid of that thing and to treat it violently like Jesus taught us to. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. No, what he was really saying was to be serious and real. Look at it like it is. It's like a knife in the snow set there, a trap by the enemy to take us out. We have power. We have management that we need to respect and obey and not rebel against. When we rebel against his management and his truth, we make excuses. That's what we do. Well, I can't help it. The devil made me do it. It looked too good there in the snow. Whatever it was, whatever it is for you, it's different for every one of us. But this morning, as the Holy Spirit would illuminate those things or that thing to you, and my own heart and life open right now, Jesus, before him included, I open my own heart and life. And Holy Spirit, I ask you, show me anywhere along the way I've left those things unattended to. If I've ignored them, if I've willingly rebelled against those things that I needed to get rid of or free from, then God, I ask you right now to illuminate that and show me that thing, God, or those things. Set me free. I give you my heart, and right now in Jesus' name, I just take authority over those things in my own life, and I say, get out in Jesus' name. I don't want to fall a victim to that plant of a trap anymore. You know, the scripture says that we have an advocate with the Father, that he will forgive us. Jesus will forgive us. And so I think right now it's important as believers that if there's anywhere, any areas of gray areas that like this that I'm talking about in our lives this morning, that we take individual responsibility. I can't pray for you and you can't pray for me. This has to be individual, you and Jesus, me and Jesus. And so right now in Jesus' name, Jesus, I just ask you to forgive me. I repent of any area in my life. And this morning I encourage you to repent of any area in your life that is like that, that causes you to look like you're just putting a sign up in your yard under new management, that causes me to look like I'm just putting a sign up in my yard under new management. Jesus, I respect you. I love you. I want to obey your commandments with all my heart. And so, God, I just pray that any area where I fell slack or short or just been outright rebellious, that you forgive me for that. And I turn around, I take that thing, and I kick it out of my yard. In Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me, set me free, and I repent of every area in my life that's like that. And specifically, this morning, I want to encourage you to do something. It's one thing to pray a general prayer over something and say, God, forgive me, but it's another thing to be specific. All of us know what our issue is. So this morning, I challenge you this week. I challenge you today when you leave here. Take it to Jesus and be specific about that thing that would cause you to stumble or mess up. Be specific with him and repent specifically of it and turn away from it. And so, Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that you bless this week. And that, God, we lift Miss Mary up to you this morning, God. And I just know that you have rebuked the devourer. You have rebuked that spirit of fear. In Jesus' name, we took authority over in agreement. And God, I pray that that if she goes there tomorrow, that your peace and your assurance and your strength is with her. We know that. And God, we thank you for her and we bless her tomorrow for that. And we bless, God, I just release a blessing over all of us today, God, that as we go about our week, that you give us the strength to begin going around and kicking those things out of our yard, to begin evicting things that need to be evicted, and to make sure that we're on the right track and that the sign of new management means something genuine and real in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.